Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as he always does when we record podcasts, because, hey, what else are we going to do? That would be senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
There was a boy called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it.
All right, then.
Welcome to part two of our GE extravaganza.
If you're just joining us, four people founded GE, and based on a merger between two companies.
Yes, Edison General Electric and Thomson Houston Electric.
Yes, and those three guys, plus a guy named Charles Coffin, who was a business person who brought the companies together in a merger. And they went from a brand new field, wiring homes for electricity, lighting homes, decided to create a company that could make things that could use electricity and would sell equipment to generate electricity, and really turned into the 800-pound gorilla, as they say in marketing speak,
yes,
of the electric world.
And then we got all the way up to 1931 in GE's history. That was the year that Thomas Alva Edison died.
Mm-hmm.
So we pick up in 1932,
mm-hmm,
when GE formed the GE Credit Corporation, which was to help finance sales of GE products to families.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is GE had already weathered one major economic depression.
Mm-hmm.
But now the country was still reeling from the Great Depression, which was not that great.
No.
It was huge, but it wasn't great.
No. And in the last podcast, several years earlier, we talked about well, several years earlier in the GE timeline.
Right, not several, yeah.
Right.
Got it.
We talked about how GE had started helping companies, financing companies that were starting out.
Yeah.
And basically to help them get off the ground and hopefully use electricity and buy stuff from them.
Yep.
So this is GE getting into a different segment of the financial market.
Yes.
Which again, if you're looking at it on paper, you may say, why would they get into financing? Well, they're working in their own business interests as well.
Yeah, they're financing the sale of their products to people. So, you know, there's definitely self-interest in there, but it also was very helpful to families who
sure.
needed to have these sort of appliances in order to have an efficient and cost-effective home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, a mutually beneficial sort of thing. It's not – we don't want to say that it was completely altruistic, but at the same time, we don't want to say it was some sort of how can we get those last few pennies out from their clutches. It wasn't either of those things.
No. Also in the last podcast, we discussed how GE had started – very early on for the company, really, one of the very first research and development labs for corporations, because they realized that if they could come up with more cool scientific breakthroughs, again, this is sort of in that same bucket, that they could come up with things that would help people and that they could monetize and add value to the company. And one of the first things that they could really brag about, not that they couldn't, some of the others, but one of the scientists won a Nobel Prize in that year as well.
Yeah, Irving Langmuir,
mm-hmm.
who won a Nobel Prize for his work in surface chemistry.
Yes.
And that was the very first United States industrial scientist to win a Nobel Prize. So that's mm-hmm. that's a big bragging point for GE. Skipping ahead a couple of years, in 1935, GE produces the first electric food waste disposal unit.
The Disposal.
Yes, it was creatively named the Disposal. So this is I personally love this kind of invention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic invention. I have an electric food waste disposal unit at my house, and very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have to make a compost heap in my house. I don't live in San Francisco, but so this was definitely one of those inventions introduced to try and make the whole home life more simple and clean and efficient, which was kind of like GE's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was their space. It was that we're going to make your life easier, and here's how.
Mm-hmm.
Through electricity.
Yes.
They also had the very first night baseball game played in the United States thanks to some lights provided by GE.
Yes, at Crosley Field.
Yes, in Cincinnati. Cincinnati Reds versus the Phillies. And who won?
The Reds beat the Phillies 2-1.
Thank you. Awesome. Take that, Phillies. As a Braves fan, I can't say that enough. Take that, Phillies.
And where's your wife from again?
2-1 in 1935. My wife's from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. These were the Novalux lamps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chicago was skeptical of these lamps. I'm kidding, Chicago.
Yeah.
The Cubs were skeptical of these lamps up until, I don't know, just a few years ago. No, I'm teasing.
I like how we've suddenly become a baseball podcast.
Yeah. No, I just find it kind of interesting that they were so successful that they took off. And if you're not a baseball fan, if you live in a different part of the world where baseball is sort of a curiosity rather than a national pastime, the Chicago Cubs are a team that has been around for a very, very long time, and they didn't set up electric lights in their ballpark until just a few years ago at the time we're recording this. And I have absolutely no problems with that. I'm just teasing. I actually kind of like the Cubs.
Yeah, everyone loves an underdog, right?
Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Oh, the poor Cubs.
Yeah, I know.
1936. That's when GE starts a small appliances division, essentially. I mean, they really get into creating small appliances for the home.
Yes.
So again, if you remember from our last podcast, I talked about how the president and CEO during this time really wanted to focus on targeting the consumer, the mm-hmm. average consumer, as a customer for GE, because a lot of GE's customers were big companies, not consumers.
Right.
This was a continuation of that, and they started to make stuff like juicers, roasters, mixers, countertop cookers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You mean like the Juice-O-Mat juicer?
Yes.
And the a la carte table cooker? Like if you need to eat a whole table.
Yes, I was about to say, if you need to cook your table.
Yep. And the Dorchester coffee maker.
Yes.
Actually, this is kind of interesting. We talked about in the HP series of podcasts. Hewlett-Packard, over its history, which is quite a bit shorter than GE's, got into a number of fields and then later divested themselves of it. As we look at GE, note that they get into a wide range of different businesses, mm-hmm. but they pretty much are working in the same fields that either they created or augmented in such a significant way that they are a big part of them. And really, they didn't let go of a whole lot of this stuff. They continue to be involved in these. So
yeah, there's a few that they did divest themselves of, but we'll talk
like
about that. And sometimes
some
not by
others.
Choice.
Well, that's true.
Since RCA was taken from them. In the United States, who gave it to them in the first place.
Stop it.
I know. I'm sorry. That was the last podcast, so I'm not going to go off on that again. But yes, that is true. GE was more known for developing these different technologies, getting involved in it, and staying with it.
Yeah.
They were very careful, too, about what they got into. Like, you know, they stressed innovation, but they weren't so much about innovation that they were going to go and embrace something that was unproven.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I can think of a lot of companies that have done that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in the last podcast I talked about Google, you could argue that Google has done that as well.
Yeah.
Where they've embraced stuff that wasn't quite proven and not fully baked maybe, and it just didn't work out. Maybe for one reason or another. Each one is fairly complex, but GE was pretty good about identifying innovative designs that would be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason for the company's success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in 1937, the final of the four founders passes away.
Mm-hmm.
Elihu Thompson. He actually passed away in 1937. If you had listened to our last podcast, the other three founders had passed away before this. So now the four guys who had built the two companies that eventually became General Electric are no more. They mm-hmm. have shuffled off the mortal coil.
Yep. And in 1936, as we were talking about the different tabletop appliances or kitchen appliances, this is, again, the diversity of GE. We talked about a guy in the last podcast named Sanford Moss, who at 16 figured out that if you burn fuel in a compressed air environment, you could really put out some energy compared to a typical engine. That's called the supercharger, if you're familiar with these types of things. Well, Howard Hughes, you know, the Billy Jillionaire with the boxes on his feet.
Yes.
Set a transcontinental air record. You know, if you know, you're familiar with Mr. Hughes, you know that he was very much into aviation.
Yes.
He made it across the country in 7 hours, 28 minutes, 25 seconds using that supercharger technology of GE's.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I have so many jokes I want to tell, but I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
So in 1938, GE invents the fluorescent lamp.
Yeah, they were kind enough to wait until Mr. Edison passed on before they invented the fluorescent lamp.
Yeah, because, of course, Edison is famous for his work in the incandescent lamp as well as other multiple inventions.
How do you fit in there anyway? It's a very tiny space.
It reminds me of another joke that I can't tell. Anyway, the fluorescent lamp, of course, was a new development. And, you would think for a company that was so centered around incandescent lighting, for it to develop fluorescent lighting, that's interesting.
Well, it's not the first time, it's not the last time GE will work on a completely different lighting technology. So they really weren't married to it. It was more of a joke that I made. But that's significant, really, when you think about it. They made a significant enough improvement in an incandescent light bulb that they were able to really make a business out of it.
Yeah.
And now they are innovating by creating the fluorescent lamp.
Well, and again, it's something that sets GE apart, because you've got companies that will try their hardest to ignore or dismiss technologies that would significantly impact their business model by changing whatever it was they were making. So if you've got a company that's making a product and a new way of making a new kind of product that competes directly with the old one and is in many ways superior to the old one,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes that first company is going to resist it. In this case, we have a company that's actually innovating in that space because, well, multiple reasons. One of them being that I assume that the people in charge of GE knew that you can't just innovate and then rest on that. You have to keep pushing in order and keep changing and keep growing in order to stay viable as a company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I'm assuming that I haven't read any of these men's works directly, so I can't say for sure. But based upon the way the company has grown over the years, I think it's a fairly safe assumption.
Corporate body language, you might say.
Yeah.
Catherine Burr Blodgett. In 1939.
Yes, the first female scientist at GE's research laboratory.
Hey, you said laboratory.
I know. I had to think about it, too.
she made – this is – I love what they call it because it sounds so – well, duh. Invisible glass.
That's what Wonder Woman's jet is made out of.
But no, we're talking about glass that doesn't reflect. It's got a coating on it that prevents the glass from being reflective. And that's very useful in a number of different technologies. And basically, it was the forerunner of a lot of the glasses used in different applications today.
Yeah. Things like cameras. Very useful for a camera lens. Also, optical lenses in general.
Yeah. Anti-reflective coatings.
Yeah.
If you have a smartphone, you probably have a very tiny bit of that glass or something very much like it. Another chemistry. In 1940, silicone.
Yes.
They got into silicone. Actually invented it, really. And it's used in all kinds of things.
Yes.
Insulating electronics.
Yep.
It's excellent for that. Baking now, they use it for that now. Industrial sealants. Aquariums.
Yep. Lots of different applications.
And great for advertising what causes you believe in on your wrist if you're so inclined, although that's sort of passed out of fashion here.
Wrist strong.
Yes.
So also in 1940, they created a television station called WRGB in a little town in New York called
Schenectady.
And it was the first television network, or grew into the first television network.
Well, it was kind of funny to call it that. You might not necessarily think about it. But remember when we talked about computer networks? We said that basically a computer standing on its own is not a network. But if you put, you know, connect another net computer to it, you've created a network. Well, yes, this was a network of two. WRGB was simultaneously broadcasting the same signal that the New York City TV station was. And so in doing that, they created their first network.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
And
RGB
also,
I think that's kind of funny.
Yes.
Red, green, and blue being the colors that you see on a computer screen or a TV screen.
Yeah, of course, in 1940, that's pre-color TV.
I know. That's the ironic part of it.
So in 1940 also, that's when Gerard Swope and Charles E. Wilson stepped down for the first time, because this gets complicated, and I'll explain why. So they stepped down in 1940 and from being president and CEO, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charles E. Wilson becomes the president. By the way, Charles E. Wilson, there are two Charles E. Wilsons that are important during this particular era. One of those Charles E. Wilsons is the CEO of General Motors. The other Charles E. Wilson became the president of GE. And you can tell them apart because the one at General Motors was known as Engine Charlie. And the one at GE was known as Electric Charlie.
That's kind of funny.
I'm not even making that up.
Also, when you think about it, General Motors and General Electric, they're both major generals.
That's true. They're the very model of a modern major general. And then Owen D. Young, you know, he stepped down as well. And Philip D. Reed took his place. Now, that happens in 1940. I'm going to go ahead and explain what happens over the next few years because it's going to get confusing otherwise. So
sure.
1940, you have this regime change, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
In 1942, both Charlie Wilson and Philip Reed leave GE.
And, oh, noes.
And Owen Young and Gerard Swope step back into their roles as CEO and president, respectively.
Wait, what?
Now, here's what happened. So 1942, there was a little event going on. In 1942, it had started a few years earlier, and it was really in full swing by 42, which is World War II.
Oh, I thought it was the jitterbug.
World War II. We're going to stick with that. So, yeah, World War II was in full swing. Now I see what you're doing there with the jitterbug now. In 1942, and both Reed and Wilson left GE to go serve on the United States War Production Board. So they left.
Ah.
They left the company to serve with the United States government on this board, and they were there for 3 years. So in 1945, when the war came to an end, Swope and Young stepped down again, and Wilson and Reed took their place again as the the CEO and president of the company, or president and CEO, I should say, because Wilson was the president. So, yeah, it's this weird little moment in GE's history where the outgoing president and CEO were replaced. Then they came back in to replace the incoming president and CEO, and then they left for the incoming president and CEO, who were coming back again a few years later. But it all had to do with World War II.
Confused? You won't be after this episode of Tech Stuff.
Yeah, actually, that's never true. So that's that. That's the whole confusing little moment in GE's executive history. Moving on, though. So in 1941,
transportation strikes again.
Well, there's GE built the IA, which is the very first United States jet engine.
Ah, yes.
IA. And then in 1943, GE developed something called autopilot.
Ah, well, you skipped 1942, which surprised me.
Oh, well.
Well, that was the world's first turboprop.
Oh, yes.
Designed by Sir Frank Whittle.
Yeah, I did skip that. You're right.
Because the Bell XP-59 era Comet used two of those engines to be the first American jet in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
Which they then put on automatic pilot, and it crashed into a barn. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, the autopilot, of course, is a setting which allows a aircraft to continue on a set course.
Yes.
Without adjustments. So very helpful feature there that GE developed. And in 1945, they demonstrated the first commercial non-military use of radar, which they used to help vessels navigate through dark conditions so that they wouldn't bump into stuff.
As long as it's not farther than 20 miles away.
Yeah. And also in 45, that's when we now have Wilson and Reed in place as executive leaders for GE. They've actually come back from the war effort, and now they are there to stay for the rest of their tenure.
Mm-hmm. 46, you have the J-47, which became the most produced jet engine in history.
Yep.
5,000-pound thrust production. So, you know.
Powerful engine there. And also that year, a GE scientist named Vincent Schaefer developed an interesting technique for areas that are suffering from drought.
Yes, cloud seeding.
Yes, he was the one who figured out that by seeding clouds, by putting in tiny particles in clouds for water droplets to form around, you could make rain.
Oh, I thought you could grow sunflowers in clouds.
No. Oh. You must be playing a super advanced version of Plants vs. Zombies.
Sky Plants vs. Zombies.
Sky Plants vs. Zombies.
Yes.
So, that was another interesting development. In 47, GE produces the first two-door refrigerator. Which has a separate door for the freezer.
Yes. Before they had developed the first hermetically sealed refrigerator, which was a nice invention. This is an improvement on that technology. You had 7.5 cubic feet, not big by today's standards, but, it was pretty significant at the time.
Yeah, and also the fact that it had a separate door for the freezer meant that you didn't have to worry about defrosting the refrigerator all the time because it had its own separate compartment.
Yes, yeah. And it's important to note, too, this just occurred to me. This is not something that I found through research. But we're talking about right after World War II, which in America was a time of enormous prosperity.
Yes.
You had a whole lot of people coming back from the war that the American manufacturing machine was completely geared up.
Yeah.
The Americans produced, if you'll pardon the pun, really don't intend it to be, boatloads and boatloads of all kinds of weaponry. There were huge advancements in technology, not just from GE, but from other corporations in the United States. And so as the men came home from Europe and the Pacific theaters, they found themselves in an opportunity to get more stuff than they had ever had before, all sorts of new things. So these bursts in technology came at a perfect time, and I'm sure, again, this is not based on my reading, I'm sure that in no small part this caused GE to grow significantly because they had invested in all these different areas, especially home appliances, small appliances, and I'm sure they made tons and tons of cash simply through being having it available at the right time, geared up in the right way. So this was a huge time for them. So introducing a two-door refrigerator freezer, that was brand new, and that would be something that people are going to want in their homes.
They also introduced – now, this was for commercial restaurants, not for homes, but they introduced an electronic oven that was programmable in a sense and actually made – an entire industry possible, something that maybe we shouldn't thank GE for, the fast food industry.
Yeah, they made custom matching gear, all sorts of different appliances that you would find in a fast food restaurant for different types of cooking, toasters and fryers and all sorts of other stuff. The fast food industry really took off after the war was over as well.
Yeah.
So you could gear up your stuff and have it look sweet, you know, have it all behind the counter where everybody could see it. It looked nice. It added to the atmosphere in a fast food restaurant.
Yeah. In 1950, Wilson.
Such as it is.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't have a lot of atmosphere most of the fast food restaurants I've been in.
But if you went out, you know, for a date or something like that, it would.
I'm learning a lot about Chris on this podcast.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices. And that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely? Where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
In 1950, Charles Wilson steps down.
I ain't a complicated guy. Okay?
Charles Wilson stepped down as the president in 1950, and Ralph J. Kordner became the new president of GE. And in 51, the company developed the J-79 military jet engine.
Yes, popular military jet engine.
I like the story that was on the GE's website about how when the engineers were testing the engine, they thought that their instruments must have been broken because the efficiency levels were way higher than they expected them to be.
It's like, nah, that's not going to work.
You know, this
that can't be right.
This meter's broken. Go get me a new one. In 1952.
I think the gauge is broken.
Yeah. Sir, you've switched off your targeting computer. In 1952, they built an appliance park facility in Kentucky.
Which is great if you need to park your appliances.
Yeah, no, this was a company, or a part of the company that was specifically dedicated to designing and producing appliances for the home.
Oh, man, my notes are way off today.
In 1953, they developed the Lexan polycarbonate resin.
Oh, man. Daniel W. Fox, trying to come up with a better – how many times have we mentioned this scenario?
Yeah.
Trying to come up with a better wire enamel.
Yeah.
Comes up with Lexan, which if you know what Lexan is a very hard, transparent plastic, which can be used in all sorts of things. This is another area that GE capitalizes on later. But, yeah, very, very useful plastic.
Yep. In 1954, they developed the first automatic portable dishwasher called...
The Mobile Maid.
Yes. So, a portable dishwasher. I'm not going to make any jokes on that either. In 1955, they developed the first micro miniature relay. And this was for aircraft and spacecraft.
Yeah, and they're still in use. This is another technology GE developed that still finds its way into today's aircraft and spacecraft.
Yep. They also developed a method for creating artificial diamonds, which are used in industrial applications like drilling. You know, they have diamond drill bits and stuff. Well, this was when they actually developed a technique to create them artificially.
Yes, diamonds in this case are a grinder's best friend. They use
nice.
These,
and we're talking about someone who's actually grinding stuff down, not a sandwich.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, you don't want industrial diamonds in your sandwich.
No, bad idea.
But they are great for grinding stuff down. And as a matter of fact, this is not the only application of very, very hard stuff that they innovate in their chemical labs. But we'll come to that later.
Yeah, yeah. Diamonds also very useful if you're going to create a doomsday device because they almost all have to have some sort of diamond right there in the center to focus the energy. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
or some sort of a chip that goes
right.
along with the diamonds.
Yes, yes.
But this the next thing that I want to talk about in
sure.
1956, a technology that will change the world forever.
This is the T-93?
This is the T-93.
It is not, as I first imagined, a very early Terminator. Or maybe it is, and I just don't know about it.
Well, not you know.
It's not built
as such.
If
you're talking about heart failure, possibly. again, I am not a very complex guy, and the invention of the first toaster oven, which finds its way on many countertops and is a prized possession in my home. I have mine up on a little pedestal with a light shining down. It's a GE bulb, by the way, that shines right down on
nice.
It.
Nice. Little angelic choir sings the
yes.
three notes from NBC on there.
Yes,
and
exactly.
The light.
But it's a useful appliance.
You know what? You're not going to get any argument out of me. I don't own a toaster oven, but I have known the joys of a toaster oven.
It's useful, and it helps you cook your tater tots.
Good grief. All right, so they also that year created the Convair Skylark, which I must admit does not truly compete with the Toastar oven for innovation. All
no.
it was a commercial jet engine that was based off the J79 military engine they had developed a few years earlier.
Yeah. Okay, so in the corporate world here,
yeah.
you've got your very successful line of Toastars that they put in homes. They're very popular with pirates as well.
Yes, they
put
are.
It in the Toastar. Jonathan's taking a drink. I was hoping to make him spit tea
no,
across the room.
No, not going to happen.
But you also have this very, very businessy line of very expensive stuff that you're selling. Jet engines to the military and to commercial aspects. So they
yeah.
are extremely successful in both of these.
You could say that GE at this point has a diversified offering.
Extremely.
Appliances for the home and jet engines for the military.
And they're selling stuff to corporations, too, that rely on plastics and chemicals, like the Noryl resin developed in 1956 by Alan S. Hay of the Research Laboratory.
Yeah, and it was this was an important development because this was a kind of plastic that still stays strong even at high temperatures, which made it ideal for industrial use.
Yes.
You know, you wanted – that was one of the problems with plastics is that, you know, as the temperatures increase, the plastic would become brittle or it would start to melt.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be useful anymore. So there were some – lots of industries actually that just could not really use that much plastic in what they did because it just wasn't stable.
Mm-hmm.
This helped fix that problem in that there was, you know, for certain applications, this plastic could maintain its integrity even at those high temperatures.
Yes. No matter of bribing will cause it to melt.
Very high integrity.
57, you've got the J-93, the successor to the other military jet engine that we talked about just a moment ago.
Supersonic jets use the J-93. They could
Mach
go
3.
Yeah, 3 times the speed of sound.
I just wanted to say Mach.
Mach.
They did put that on the experimental XB-70 bomber.
Yep.
So
that year, they also opened the world's first licensed nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
The unlicensed nuclear power plants were, of course, all over the place at that point. Every little kid would, instead of operating a lemonade stand, would be like, Mom, I'm going to go out and harvest some uranium and create a fission reactor in the backyard and have an unlicensed nuclear power plant. And they'd say, just be home before supper. I made all that up.
Oh, in 57.
Still in 57.
In 57, my brother was born, and Robert H. Wentorf Jr. came up with Borazon.
Yes, cubic boron nitride.
It apparently
boron
was not
nitride, I should say.
Yes.
Not boron. That's a character in Lord of the Rings, actually. It's Boromir's little cousin, Boron. He was not a very exciting
I thought
guy.
I was loopy. No, this is the chemical I was talking about, or the substance I was talking about a few moments ago. It is an artificial substance, but it's second in hardness only to diamonds.
Yes, and it can operate at temperatures higher than diamonds can.
Yes, diamonds will burn at a certain point, believe it or not.
Yes.
I imagine that has to be really hot.
Pretty darn hot, I think, is the technical term.
Yes, but Borazon will continue to exist at those temperatures and higher.
Yeah, it does not burn at that temperature.
Should I go into the next exciting home appliance?
Well, before we do, there's something else that happens. You mean in 1958?
Yes.
So in 1958, something else happens too that I should mention before we go into the appliance. So in 1958, Philip D. Reed steps down as chairman.
Mm-hmm.
So Cordner, who was the president, now becomes the chairman and CEO.
Okay.
All right. So he transitions into the chairman and CEO role, and Gerald L. Philippe comes in as president. Now, this is important because it starts to show a transition from the way their corporate structure was in the earlier days. Eventually, we're going to get to a point where you have one person as chairman and CEO, and you don't have a president anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up to that point. We're not there yet, but that's why we've now got a guy who's transitioned out of president to become chairman and CEO, and a new fellow has come in as president. And now, what was the amazing invention that GE introduced in 1958?
The electric can opener.
Yes. Dogs and cats everywhere learn to come scampering into your kitchen whenever this device is activated.
Which is funny for two reasons. One, my cats do that, and the cat food we have doesn't come in that kind of a can.
Yeah.
The other thing is GE makes that joke on its own website.
Does it really?
Yes, it does.
I didn't even see that.
On the timeline, I actually went to it says, and dogs and cats everywhere learn a new sound. And I
thought I was being funny and original. It turns out that I was making a reference to something I hadn't even read.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not funny.
No, it's fair enough.
And we are teasing GE sort of about the toaster oven and the can opener and these appliances, but they really were fulfilling their goal of trying to make life easier for people through electrical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare it to something like the second hardest material known to man, something that is only outstripped by diamonds, that sort of stuff, it seems tiny and silly in comparison. But
or jet engines, or all
the medical equipment that GE makes. But the truth is that these things did make life easier.
I got an electric can opener.
I have an electric can opener too, and I use it. Well, I'm a left-hander. Okay, so a left-hander trying to use a can opener.
That's a good point.
All right, guys, if you want to know an exercise in frustration, find a left-hander and ask them about using a manual can opener. Even left-handed can openers, but I digress.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
Anyway, they were making stuff that really did make life easier. And we take it for granted now.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
You think about think about how long it takes you to heat something up using a microwave, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about how long it would take you if you were to use a conventional oven or range top for that.
Uses a lot more energy as well.
That's also true. But yeah, look at any directions. Like if you ever buy any frozen food that has directions for either using the oven versus a microwave, look at the amount of time between those two.
Okay, well, here you go. You got GE pioneering refrigeration,
yep,
which makes frozen food possible,
yep,
or practical, let's
yes.
say. You can go to the Antarctic if you want to,
right. Yeah, where everything's frozen food.
Well, they used to bring in ice from other climates,
yes,
or they'd have to make it at these complicated refrigeration places.
Yeah, pack it in sawdust and then move it across as fast as they could.
So the technologies that they're working on make frozen food possible. And then when you get it home, you can store it. And then you open it up and stick it in an oven, which they helped pioneer. And then the magnetrons for microwave ovens. So either way.
Yeah.
This is something frozen food in your home is really made practical by, people like GE.
Yep. Very true.
So, yeah, no, I don't mean to make fun. We're teasing because it's such a compared to the other stuff.
Yeah, compared to the other stuff, it seems so minuscule.
Yeah, it's a big deal in a way. And they also did another lighting innovation in 59 with the halogen light.
Yes, the halogen lamps. So, again, another way to light areas. They were able to create very small bulbs that could put out quite a bit of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of desk lamps use halogen bulbs.
Yes. Less common than they used to be. Those stand lamps, the torch lamps that they used to have in the 90s.
Yeah, and there's some more now that are coming out with things like LED bulbs. But hey, you know what?
We'll get to that.
GE's got their finger in that pie too. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Oh yeah, and then 1960, the Discovery 13, which as it turns out are not several of our parent company's employees.
Nope. Discovery 13 is it's technically a satellite.
Yes.
And it was it ended up being the first the reentry vehicle for the 13 ended up being the first one retrieved after it was in orbit. First man-made object in orbit that was successfully retrieved.
Yes, not like Sputnik, which is still out there somewhere, I think.
Actually, I think Sputnik.
Did it crash?
I think it crashed. I think okay. It burnt up and crashed. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't have it right in front of me. But
they didn't retrieve it.
Right. No, that one was not retrieved, nor was it necessary to retrieve it because the Sputnik really didn't do anything other than
beep.
Exactly. So, but this satellite orbited the Earth 17 times within about 27 hours and took lots of color photos of the Earth from space.
Yes. And it was from up to 700 miles, so not especially far out.
Yeah.
Space nuts.
1961.
Automatic toothbrush.
Yes.
Made possible by smaller motors and rechargeable batteries.
Yes, rechargeable batteries. Very important.
That'll come in handy later.
Automatic toothbrush is nothing to sneeze at. I love my automatic toothbrush.
Yes.
It's 1962. They open a space center in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Because in 62, you know, we're talking about the space race now. So we're talking about that time in the United States history where we were really geared up against the Soviet Union to try and land men on the moon and be out in space before them. And, you know, some races the Russians won and some races the Americans won. And GE played a big part in that. They actually produced a lot of the electrical systems and sensors that would be used during the space race.
Yeah, and this also produced the famous quote, Houston, we have a problem. No, I'm sorry, this is Valley Forge. You want – and they – you know, never mind. And they also in 61
– not all of our jokes are surefire hits.
No. I changed it in midair, which I shouldn't do. The Leukolux lamp. Which you probably haven't heard of. They use it in factories and in outdoor environments. But this is another chemical breakthrough for them because they used translucent ceramics to make this light possible. Long-lived light that they could put in these environments and leave there for a while.
And the ceramics were really important in that they also kept in the heat generated by the lamp, because otherwise running these lamps would just make the whole area really hot.
Mm-hmm.
So the ceramics were there really to kind of keep the heat in, but they had to be, you know, transparent. They had to be at least translucent to let light through, because otherwise you just have a really hot ceramic cup in a glass jar, which wouldn't really be terribly useful.
Do not want.
In 1962, GE also had another invention come out. A GE engineer by the name of Robert Hall invented a semiconductor injection laser, also known as a solid-state laser.
I am so impressed that you said it twice the normal way.
What's that? Oh, laser instead of laser.
Yes.
See, if you hadn't pointed it out, you might have gotten away with a whole episode without me doing that.
I'm surprised that you didn't talk about the superconducting magnet that they came up to.
Well, there's also that as well. Because I pulled my notes from so many different sources. Mine are in a slightly different order than yours. You grabbed your sources. I grabbed mine. So the next one I had was this this laser, which, by the way,
solid state laser.
Yes, which is important. It's what forms the basis of technology like CD-ROM drives and DVD-ROM drives, where you have this solid state laser as part of the system. It reduced the size that you would need to create a laser. Perhaps if you had one of those diamonds we talked about earlier, then you could have your doomsday device.
Yes. You could take over the entire tri-state area.
So you want to talk about some – I'm not going to do Doofenshmirtz. You're going to talk about some magnets?
Yes. Well, one in particular.
Yes.
They came up with a superconducting magnet that – which is amazing to me to think about. 100,000 Gauss. That's a pretty big magnet.
Yep.
Which is funny that I say that, to me at least, because that's only the beginning.
Yeah.
The reason you might be interested in this, we haven't talked about GE's medical stuff much on this particular podcast. And the last one, we talked about how they were on the forefront of x-rays.
Yes.
Right as Mr. Röntgen.
Yeah.
I have such a trouble with his name, came up with or realized that x-rays existed and what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
GE almost immediately within the next year came up with a machine that could produce x-rays and was used for medical imaging. And it started making improvements on this giant, huge, enormous magnet that they came up with, superconducting magnet, is going to play a huge part in GE's medical technology going forward, because it is this type of magnet that they're going to use in their magnetic resonance devices.
Yes.
Of different types.
Yes.
Later.
So,
but not yet.
I've got two other things to round out going up to 1967. One is in 1963, which is when Fred J. Borch became the president and CEO, and he replaced Cordiner. And that's the same year that GE developed the self-cleaning oven,
the P7. I had a I actually just replaced in my father's house a subsequent oven that followed that with the self-cleaning stuff, which is a pyrolytic system, which basically means that you lock down the darn thing and heat it up until it just burns the stuff off, which really smells terrible. However, the engineers involved were granted around 100 patents
yep.
for the technologies that they used in creating that oven. So that's a big deal.
And in 67, Fred J. Borch becomes the chairman and CEO. So he transitions from president and CEO to chairman and CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to the end of this era. Do you have something else you want to add before we wrap up?
Jacob G. Rabotin, in 1968, came up with a high-efficiency X-ray phosphor.
All right.
Yes. And this is not exciting. However, it did improve the efficiency of X-ray machines that they created that would reduce – you know, you guys listening all probably know that X-rays – it's not a good idea to be exposed to X-rays at high levels.
Right.
You want to be – you want the picture to be taken and then that's it. Just expose the film and let's get it over with because it can be dangerous.
Yes, it's ionizing radiation.
This technology that I just spoke of a moment ago reduces patient exposure to a quarter of what they were being exposed to before. So that's significant.
Yes, definitely.
That's much safer for the patient and a definite improvement in technology, but not, you know, particularly exciting for the man on the street.
Yeah, unless that man on the street has just broken a leg.
Yes.
Which, so, get that man off the street.
Yeah. Not glamorous, but very, very important.
Yes. So this wraps up episode 2 of the GE story. We will finish with episode 3. So stay tuned for our next episode where we will conclude and talk about all sorts of stuff, starting with a short visit to the moon. And if you guys have any suggestions for topics we should cover, you had it. You held it together so well until like 3 seconds after I did that. No, if you guys have any suggestions for topics that we should cover here on Tech Stuff, please let us know. You can write us an email. That address is techstuff@discovery.com, or send us a message on Twitter or Facebook. You can find us there. We are, in fact, there. We use the handle TechStuffHSW. Track us down, follow us, befriend us, become one of our bosom buddies, and let us know what you would like us to talk about in future episodes. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.